Amen. I appreciate that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. The 11th chapter, the book of Hebrews. We took a little break from our study of Hebrews to talk about the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ in the month of December, but we want to get back to that and finish out this book over the next several weeks. But just studying verse by verse, we want to cover every verse in the book of Hebrews as we continue to consider the fact that Jesus is greater. And if you'll remember, as we began the book, it starts to tell us all the ways that Jesus is greater, that he's greater than the angels, he's greater than Moses, he's greater than all the priests, Aaron, he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is greater than everything and everyone because he created everything and everyone. Let me try that one more time. Is everybody sleepy today? Everybody okay? I want to go ahead and tell you, I woke up with a horrible headache. Anybody ever wake up with a headache? I do that. I don't like to do that, but I do that on a regular basis, and I had that this morning. And it does this interesting, it makes it hard for me to focus. So if I'm squinting at you today, it's not because I stayed up all night or anything like that. It just makes it hard to see. But some of you look the way I feel. I don't want to be offensive to you or anything today, but some of you got that kind of glazed over look. I don't know. Maybe the snow day just ruined you. But we're here, we're ready to get into the Word of God and learn from Him today. So let me just try this one more time. Jesus is greater than everything and everyone because He created everything and everyone. Amen. Hey, it's a little better. Sometimes you just got to be reminded to wake up, right? But Jesus Christ, and He goes into all of this, and then we come to chapter 11. Several weeks ago, we studied verses 1 through 3 to figure out what faith is. And I want to ask you to look back at that very quickly, just as a reminder. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, and then our text today, we're going to focus on just one verse, is verse 4. But let's stand together to honor the Word of God. And the Word of God says in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to understand it, to learn from it today. Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts, that we would be grateful for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his precious blood that was shed to take away our sin. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who has never been saved, that this morning they would repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, that they would cry out to you in prayer and receive the gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sin. And Lord, I pray for all who are saved, that today you would change our hearts, that we would live for you in a greater way. Lord, that we would offer ourselves, our lives to you in a living sacrifice, that we would walk by faith each day. Lord, please help me now, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray that you bless your word, convict us by your spirit, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So, in verse 4, the Bible says, by faith. Well, what is faith? Well, we go back to verse 1, and the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so, man, there's so much richness in just those first three verses, but get this. Faith is basically hope in the present tense. And we understand biblical hope, right? Listen, the world has ruined the word hope. The world thinks that hope is a maybe so, might be, we're hoping it could happen. That's worldly hope. But please understand, when you read your Bible and it says hope, that is not what it's talking about. The word hope literally means an earnest expectation. In other words, God has promised something. He has given us assurances of things, and God will keep his promises. Now listen, if you're saved, you get hope because you know one day you're going to go to heaven. Amen. Right? Amen. You have that assurance in your heart. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, and you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life, and you have hope for that. You're looking for that day. You're longing for that day. You're expecting that day. Amen. One of these days I'm going to die. The other day on the snow day, I went out into the snow with the kids and played for an hour, and I thought I was going to die. I was pretty sure my heart was this close to stopping, just saying, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? Stop! It was. It just didn't take long for me to give out there in the snow. Listen, one of these days I'm going to die, but friends, I'm telling you, I know that I know that I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. That expectation, that's what hope really is. And faith is that hope in the present tense. It's the substance of things hoped for. Those things that we're looking forward to, what we feel, what we know today, what we believe, that's what faith is. Our trust in the promises of God. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I love verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Listen, when you read your Bible in Genesis and it says, God said, let there be light. God said, let the waters come forth. Let the dry land appear. Let the earth bring forth the grass and the herb yielding seed. All those things. When we read that and we believe it, that's faith. Amen. When we come to that understanding, that trust of the word of God, that is what faith is. By the way, I love it. The things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And the scientists can search from now until the Lord comes again, and they will not be able to, by looking at creation, figure out where creation came from. Right. Something bigger than creation had to make creation. Right. Something more powerful than the universe had to create the universe, had to give beginning to the universe, and that's God. Amen. And so you're not going to, we see evidence of God in creation, but we don't see God. Amen. He's bigger than that. He's beyond that. He's above that. He's greater than that. And so by faith, the same faith that brings us to an understanding of creation, the same faith that brings us to an understanding of salvation, the same faith is the same faith that Abel offered a sacrifice by. By faith, Abel. By faith, Abel. Now, Abel, we learn about him in Genesis chapter 4, so we're going to do a little bit of back and forth this morning. If you could find Genesis chapter 4 in your Bible, while you kind of hold your place here in Hebrews 11 at the same time. Genesis chapter 4. And we want to learn about Abel and his sacrifice today. In Genesis chapter 4, if you can find that, look at verses 1 and 2. The word of God simply says that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, here's Adam and Eve, the first children that we have record of them bearing. Cain is the son. And I think that it's probably likely that Eve thought that Cain was the promise that God gave when he said the seed of the woman. She might have very well thought that Cain was it. This was the one. But she was terribly wrong. Cain would not be a savior. Cain would be a murderer. And after Cain, she had another son named Abel. Now, it's interesting to me that the name Abel, his name means emptiness. His name means vanity. What a great name for a kid. Isn't that good? She was expecting Cain to be something great. And apparently she wasn't expecting a whole lot from Abel, it seems, maybe. But here is Abel, and we're going to find that he brought a more excellent sacrifice. Now, when we look at this in Scripture today, we see by faith Abel did something. Abel was one who was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And I want you to notice today that Abel made a right offering to God. Staying there in Genesis, but listen to our text, he says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And I want you to know that his sacrifice was more excellent because it was done in faith, and it was more excellent because it was done in obedience. By faith, he offered in obedience. Now, you're going to have to bear with me a little bit this morning, because you're going to have to understand, we're going to have to know that God told and instructed Adam in things and his children in things that we don't see in the scriptures. Everybody with me? What do you mean, preacher? I mean that God demanded a blood sacrifice. You say, well, where is that in Genesis? Well, God made coats of skins for Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. He slew an animal. There was blood that was spilled to cover their sins. It's the way it was in the beginning. And you cannot go throughout the scriptures without understanding God demanded a blood sacrifice. In the time before the law, and the time during the law, and the time after the law, of course it was all fulfilled by the Lamb of God, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before we get into the blood sacrifice, let's talk about the faith. We said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's faith that helps us to understand that God is the creator of all things, and it's this kind of faith that Abel had when he made his sacrifice. In other words, his sacrifice was more excellent, not because it was obedient, it was a blood sacrifice, it was more excellent because he did it with the right heart, by faith. Now, you got to understand, in the time of Christ and Hebrews here, they were still dealing with the Pharisaism and all of those things were going on still. People were going through the motions of serving God. They were doing all of the right things, but they weren't doing it with a right heart. Jesus said that with your lips, you honor me, but your heart is far from me. But Abel wasn't that way. Cain just went through the motions. He did not make his sacrifice. Even if he'd had the right sacrifice, it wouldn't have been acceptable to God because he didn't do it by faith. Can I just tell you, friends, today that we need to have real faith in God? I meet people all the time that tell me they believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And there is absolutely no evidence in their life, no fruit to indicate that they know Jesus at all. You ever met someone like that? I meet them all the time. They're living in sin. They're living in filth. They never open their Bible. They don't go to church. They give no honor to God with their lives at all. There is no fruit to indicate a knowledge of God at all. And yet they say, I believe in Jesus. Let me tell you something, friends, that doesn't jive with Scripture. It doesn't jive with the Word of God. If we say we believe in Him in our lives, don't evidence that at all. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying somebody that never sins. I'm saying that somebody that never indicates that they know the Lord and love the Lord. There's a problem with that. Amen? Can I help you out with something too? I think that we need to be careful in our own hearts and minds right here in church this morning. Not just talking about those people out there, but the people that are right here, talking about me and talking about you. Listen, we can come to church, we can open the hymnal, we can sing the songs or at least mouth the words, and we can stay awake during the preaching, we can read our Bible, we can do all kinds of things, but if our heart is not in it, God is not pleased. Our lives are to be a living sacrifice. We're supposed to give ourselves to God in service, in prayer, in Bible study, in witness, and helping others in the name of Christ. And we can do all the right things with the wrong heart, and we are wrong. You could be sitting in the pew today, friend, and it could just not really be real to you. Today. Already today, listen, it's not even 11:30. Already today, you could have honored God with your lips and your heart been far from Him. Now, maybe you don't think that's a big deal, but I'm just going to tell you, in my heart, I want to be more like Abel than Cain. I want to be a disciple, not a Pharisee.
by faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. One of the reasons that his sacrifice was better is because it was done by faith. The other reason is because it was the right kind of sacrifice. He did it in obedience. Now remember, we don't have an explicit example in Scripture where God said to Adam, give a blood sacrifice, but we understand it by the fact that when Abel made his sacrifice, God had respect unto his sacrifice. Now look at it there in Genesis chapter 4. Look at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now get this, friends. When they brought their sacrifice, Cain, he's a tiller of the ground, so he gets his fruit. He gets the fruit of the field, and he brings it to the Lord as an offering. And you might say, well, that's what he did. That's what he was good at. And God should have accepted that sacrifice. It was the best he could offer. But friends, you can offer whatever you want to with the Lord, but if it's not what God has demanded, it's no good. Well, it's the best that I can do. It's what I want to give. No, we need to give what God requires. You say, what? But he wasn't a keeper of sheep. He didn't have flocks. Listen to me, friends. If Cain wanted to do what was right, he could have gone to his brother and said, hey, listen, I've got all this fruit of the field, and I'd like to give you this. This is the very best I have. Will you take this in exchange for a lamb that I could offer to the Lord? You don't think the opportunity was there? Listen, you don't think that they exchanged things? You don't think that that went on? You think that just Abel just lived off of sheep and Cain just lived off of the fruit of the field? No, there was exchanging going on. Of course there was. And Cain could have given the right sacrifice if he wanted to. But Cain thought, you know what? My way's okay. This is what I've done. This is what I've worked for. And God ought to just accept what I want to give. But God demands a blood sacrifice. We read it in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. You say, well, that was under the law. Yeah, but was God any different before the law than he was during the law or after the law? No, God's the same today and yesterday and forever. He did not change. Blood was always required for the covering of sin. And Cain and Abel had sin that needed to be covered. And notice that it says, in the process of a time, it came to pass that Cain brought. I believe that God had a time and a place designated for them to bring their sacrifices. Why would it say, in the process of time, that they brought it? No, because God set a time and God set a place and God set a type of sacrifice. Amen. And God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice because he was obedient. He brought the blood sacrifice. He brought the blood sacrifice. Can I help you out today? 1 Samuel 15:22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. You say, well, Cain, I don't understand it. God's kind of mean. I mean, he brought the best that he had. He did the best that he could. But did he? No, because the best he could have done would have been to be obedient. I suggest to you today that Cain was trying to find salvation by his works. Amen. Rather than obedience to God. And I would submit to you today that there are multitudes of people who are trying to come to God by their works rather than obedience to the sacrifice of God. Amen. But what is the sacrifice of God for us? It's to deny ourselves and put all our faith in Christ. Our salvation doesn't come from what we do. The best that we can offer our salvation comes when we die to self and put all our faith in Christ and his sacrifice. Amen. The blood of the Lamb of God. Titus chapter 3 verses 5 through 7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And friends, you cannot come to God by your works. The only way you can come is on his mercy, and his mercy was shed abroad on us because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not going to come to Jesus. You're not going to come to God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And may I suggest to you or remind you or warn you today that you will not stay with God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. I grow weary with people who think that you can get saved by faith and then keep salvation by works. Friends, if you can't be good enough to get saved, you can't be good enough to stay saved. No, we're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his sacrifice. It's his blood that doesn't just cover our sin, but his blood takes away our sin. Takes it away. Not to be put on us again. No, he took it all. And we can come to him by faith. I just want to tell you from my heart today that I'm terrified at the thought of people sitting in this church week after week and hearing the gospel and never truly trusting in Christ with all their heart. You say, well, I don't think you ought to talk like that, preacher. You're preaching doubt. I spent a lot of years in church. My name on the church roll, and I was lost. There's so many people that are trusting in so many things, and it's not the right thing. They've offered up their works, and they think they're okay. But friends, if your faith isn't in Christ alone, then you have no real faith at all. I'm trying to ask you today, friend, are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Have you ever put all your faith in Christ alone? Have you trusted in him alone? Have you repented and changed your mind about who you are before God? That's what repentance means, friends. It means to change your mind. It goes right along with confession. To say the same thing as God, to agree with God. And what happens is the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of righteousness and of sin and of judgment to come. And he shows you that you're not right with God. He shows you that you've sinned against God. He shows you that you are broken and undone. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you to be saved, you're going to have to agree with God about who you are. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and you're going to have to humble yourself and come before God and ask him to forgive you. You're going to have to put all your faith and trust in Christ alone. Now, I'm asking you today, have you done that? Friends, can you put your hand on your heart this morning and say, I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that I'm saved because of Jesus Christ alone. I want you to know my heart breaks for you because I'm terrified that there may be some among us even today that are not saved. Well, I said a prayer when I was young. But are you saved? The preacher prayed with me. But are you saved? I got baptized. But are you saved? Do you hear me this morning? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24 says, "Unto Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, into the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." You see, Abel's sacrifice was a right offering, offered in faith and offered in obedience, and his right offering brought about a right testimony. Now, back in our text, the Bible says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Well, how did God testify? Because when they brought their sacrifice, God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice. And he did not have respect to Cain's. And so God said, I accept the sacrifice that you've brought today, Abel. Abel took the very best of his flocks. He slit its throat. He gave the blood. He burned the fat. He gave it to the Lord. And God was pleased. And God accepted that. And God said, you are made right by your faith and obedience. You guys with me today? By faith, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. Because he believed God, he acted in obedience. Listen to me. Do you think him giving that lamb saved him? No, it was an evidence that he was saved. He gave the right sacrifice of faith because he was saved. Well, how do you know he was saved? Because God said he was righteous. Hebrews 10:38, now the just, that's the same word, righteous, shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What's it saying? It's saying that if you have faith in God, saving faith in God, that it's going to show in your life, you're not going to draw back. We're not of those that draw back into perdition, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul. And when you believe to the saving of the soul, when your faith is real, it brings you to salvation and it brings you to a changed life. Amen. He obtained witness that he was righteous. God had respect unto his offering. God testified of his gifts. We go on there in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 again. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Well, what in the world does all that mean? It may be hard to get until you come to Hebrews and God tells you what it means. It means that even though he was dead, he still spoke. Why? Because he was righteous. Because he was just. Because Abel was a saved man by faith. Because he was saved by faith, when he died, God took notice of his death, and God would avenge his own. You guys with me? You think God doesn't care about you? God cares deeply about you. God cares precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You think the angels in heaven didn't stand that day when Abel was murdered by his brother and welcome him into heaven? You know that they did. And why did God ask Cain where Abel was? You think God didn't know? Well, yeah, he knew. By the way, God likes to ask questions of us to convict our heart. And can I just help you out today? God wanted to save Cain. God wanted Cain to repent of his sin and trust in the Lord like Abel had done. God wanted him to confess and to repent that day. That's what he was doing. Why else would he ask him? You think he didn't know? Of course God knew. He was asking him to give him an opportunity to repent. Amen. You know why God brings us to services like this? So that he can give us an opportunity to repent. Amen. To get right. He puts those things in front of us, and he did it with Cain. He obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. The very blood of Abel on the ground cried out to God. And it was a testimony, because God said, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Because God said this, because God testified of it, he was saying that Abel was a righteous man, a just man before God. And he was not made righteous because of his sacrifice. He was made righteous because of his faith. Because of his faith, he made the right kind of sacrifice. And I love this, friends. Listen, when God starts this list of all these heroes of the faith, all the people who by faith did great things, he starts with Abel. And he starts with one of the very first blood sacrifices in the entire Bible. And through it all, he says, by faith, he made the right kind of offering. And his faith is what made him righteous, and his offering pointed to the Messiah. Do you see it? It's there from the very beginning. It's why God slew the animal and covered him with the skins. It's why Abel brought a blood sacrifice, because it all pointed to Jesus. By the way, why didn't God talk about the faith of Adam and Eve? Why didn't he start with them? They were first. But Adam and Eve knew God by sight. Abel, he knew God by faith. And friends, we are in a great position today because Jesus Christ has fulfilled all those pictures of the blood sacrifices. He came and offered himself for our sins one time. And today, just like Abel, we can have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked for his coming, and we look back at the fact that he did come. And by faith, we can trust in him today. And we don't have to worry about an animal sacrifice to cover our sins. We have the sacrifice of God's only Son to take away our sin. He had a right offering, and he had a righteous testimony. Jesus, there in Hebrews 12:24, he's the mediator of the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You see, Abel made a good sacrifice. He made a right sacrifice. In the very beginning, he made the right kind of sacrifice that would point. But even then, I believe with all my heart, Abel understood that his sacrifice was just a picture of a better sacrifice to come. This morning, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And while our musicians are coming, I want to ask you a question. What are you trusting in this morning? I've yet to meet a reasonable person who would say that they don't want to go to heaven when they die. I've met some unreasonable people who think they want to go to hell and party with their friends there. But they don't understand what hell is. Amen. Friends, you got to understand today that every one of us stand on the brink and we face either heaven or hell. Everyone in this room and everyone in this world, we all have an appointment with death. And after death, the judgment. Friends, we all will die and either open our eyes in torments, being in hell, or we will open our eyes in the presence of the Lord. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? It's the truth for you and me. It's the truth for everybody out there. Amen. And friends, I want to ask you this morning, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? What you do, what you did, or have you trusted in Christ alone? Friends, if you've never been saved, if this morning in your heart you know, I did this, I did that, but I know today that if I die, I won't go to heaven. You know that in your heart. Friend, you can come and you can trust Christ as your Savior today. You can repent of your sin. You can turn to the Lord and believe on him with all your heart, and he'll save you. And I know the majority of you are saved here today, but I want to ask you this. If we've been saved and we know we have eternal life, is it changing the way we live every day? You see, God calls us to make a sacrifice too. He doesn't want us to take an animal and slit its throat and burn its body on an altar. He wants us to lay our lives on the altar. He has called us to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. Are you giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living for the one who died for you? Friends, if he's convicting your heart about anything today, I don't know what the Lord might be convicting you about. Maybe there is someone who needs to be saved. Maybe somebody needs to be baptized. Maybe somebody needs to repent or confess or whatever it is. I'd have no idea, but I ask you this. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, why would you say no to him? Amen. He only wants the best for you. Let's stand together. We're going to sing what number?
Page 544.
Number 544. 544, the Holy Spirit of God's convicting your heart. Would you come? Are you absolutely sure today that you have eternal life? You know beyond any doubt that you've been saved. If you don't know that you're saved, come and trust Christ today. You've been saved, but you need to be baptized and become part of this church. Would you come? Any need in your heart today? The Holy Spirit, he's convicting you, he's drawing you, speaking to your heart, he's pulling on your heart right now. Would